Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children.
Today we're joined once again by our friend Carl Draper, who many of you will remember from episode 9. For those who don't know Carl, he is currently training to be a mental health nurse and is the founder of Waveslider, where he shares his brilliant photographs and documents life with his son Bodhi. Frank, Bodhi's assistance dog, is also a regular on Waveslider. Carl's last appearance on the podcast really struck a chord, and after that episode went live, he received an overwhelming number of messages from parents and carers wanting to know more about how he supports his son through moments of distress and what's often labelled as challenging behaviour. So today, Carl is back with us to talk honestly and openly about exactly that. We could talk to Carl for hours, so we've split our conversation into two episodes. In this first part, Carl shares his personal journey as a parent, how his understanding of behaviour has changed over time, the powerful impact of learning to regulate his own emotions, and what it really looks like to meet chaos with calm, even in the most public and confronting situations. This is a really raw, reflective and incredibly insightful conversation about unmet needs, stress responses and the reality of parenting autistic children in a world that doesn't always understand.
Welcome to the podcast, Carl. It's great to have you back.
Hi, how are you?
We're good, thank you. So can we start by explaining how you define challenging behaviour in the context of autism? And can you also give us some examples of what you've encountered?
Okay, so I guess our definition of challenging behaviour is changing at the moment. In terms or context of autism, I think the one thing to remember with a child like Bodhi is that he is equally profoundly autistic and ADHD. So you have that autism side where he likes his routine, everything has to be perfect, everything's good. And then you've got the ADHD side, which is a constant clash, which is like letting a hand grenade off in the middle of everything. I quite often think of Bodhi as pizza. He's perfectly round, cut into perfect triangles and comes in a square box.
I love that.
it doesn't fit, but it's perfect. The challenging behaviour, it all comes with an unmet need and an inability to communicate his needs. So going back to prior to when he was medicated for his ADHD, we had daily challenging behaviour where every evening at bedtime, he would go from settled to completely challenging, pinning you against the wall, pulling your hair, grabbing your face. And what I realised is I think I was the biggest cause of this challenging behaviour because I come from a world where I grew up in a pit village, old social norms in that world where, you know, a lot of people would say, oh, a slap never did me any harm. And the way that I was brought up, I couldn't regulate my own emotions. So when he got challenging, if that's the word, which is actually a stress response because of an unmet need, I would then shout, get angry and become stressed, slam a door and display all the wrong behaviours and do the wrong thing. And then after a while, you realise that I'm teaching him how to respond in these situations. So then he would slam a door, shout and get angry. And it's not a light bulb moment, but there was certainly a moment where I just thought, that's me. He's not listening to what I say, but he's mirroring what I do. We realised that we needed to change our parenting behaviours and styles and get some education. Yes, there's differences with the autism and the ADHD, but a lot of it was based on how we reacted to Bodhi when he had an unmet need. So number one, I had to learn to regulate my own emotions. Now, learning to hear a child who doesn't speak is the easiest thing I've ever learned to do. And he was totally silent until 7. Learning to regulate my own emotions is by far the hardest thing I've ever tried to do. But we are getting there and we are now seeing the results. So for every night for nearly a year, at bedtime, I had to take Frank, German Shepherd, out of the house and go and sit in the car until Charlie settled him down to bed. And during that time, you're learning to regulate your own emotions, you're learning new parenting styles, new behaviours, you're changing the way you are, the way you see, the way you think. Learning to put his needs first. But you do still get other challenging behaviours or a stress response which can cause embarrassment. So, for example, he might do that in a shop. You know, some people call it a meltdown. And a lot of times I used to get embarrassed because I was aware that people were watching. During the summertime, we went to a superstore. Very hot day, so we didn't take Frank. It was too hot to take Frank. We went to this superstore, and going to a shop with Bodhi is very difficult. I don't know if you've ever seen a supermarket sweep. He wants everything, everything times 10. So we went to this shop and he had a fixation at the time over bottles of water. Don't know why. He's been through the same with pick and mix sweets. He'll always have a pick and mix tub of sweets, but never eats them. He just wants to look at them and touch them. He's never eaten one. But this occasion, we got to the checkout and he wanted a bottle of water from next to the counter. And the car was full of bottles of water. The house was full of bottles of water. Every time we went to the shop, he wanted a bottle of water. So I decided on this day that I was going to stand my ground and say no, because at some point we need to teach him boundaries and that you can't always have what you want. Rather than he's going to sort of have a meltdown, just get him a bottle of water for an easy exit. So he had a full-on stress response and it ended up on the floor. I was sat on the floor with him and I was now doing the right behaviours. I was meeting this chaos with calm. So rather than getting embarrassed, rather than getting angry and raising my voice, I was calm and I was validating and I was explaining to him that, you know, that daddy can't afford a bottle of water today. We don't have the coins because we need to teach him value and things like this with money. And it went on for probably 15 minutes. And in my mind, I'm like, stay calm. You're going to get there. You're going to win today. This is the winning day, Cole. But while I'm doing this, there's two women stood nearby me. One is filming me. And the other lady standing next to her who's filming me is saying something along the lines of, when I was brought up with discipline, not this woke shit that this idiot here is doing. Because obviously, it's not the norm, is it? Bringing a child up like Bodhi or any child should be brought up with a slap or with fear or with punishment. So we're doing it right and we're doing it with pride. So anyway, I'm there and I'm winning and it's working. And then the security guard comes over. He wants to know what's going off. And I sort of stood up and I explained Bodhi's severely autistic. I'm sorry, if you give us a little bit of time and space, we'll be out of here. And he was a bit hesitant, but he left. So Bodhi regulated, and then I got him out to the car, and it was like it never happened. And me, probably one of the best days of my life, because this is like a huge win, a huge victory. And I've now started to believe in these new behaviours. It's working. A while ago, we went back to the same store. This time we got Frank. And the same thing happened again. We get to the checkout. He wants a bottle of water. And here we go again. We get this full stress response. He's on the floor and then he's grabbing at me. Frank is sat next to Bodhi on the floor and Frank is leaning on him. Frank leans on him like a big weighted blanket. Frank's leaning on him. And Frank obviously is a big German shepherd. He's getting quite big now. And there's like a 10-foot gap around us. Because Frank's just staring at everybody. And although he can't speak, he's very expressive with his nonverbal communication. His face is saying to people, keep walking, stay back. And everybody's just doing that. They're just carrying on. There's no filming, nothing. And the same security guard appears. So again, I stand up and he's like, you again. So sorry. Yes, it's me again. We're having the same thing as before. But again, if you give us a little bit of time and space, I really appreciate your support. It won't take long. But this time he said, "Well, I'm sorry, I've been told I've got to remove him from the store." And I'm like, "Well, I'm not quite sure what you mean by that, but you need to rethink what you're thinking because no one's putting a finger on him." And he said, "I'm sorry, I've been told to." So I said to the guard, I'm like, "Do you mind just stepping forward?" He couldn't see Frank. Frank was sat behind the back of the checkout. He could only see sort of Bodie's legs, if you like. So he stepped forward and I said, "You see that? That's Frank. If you've got a problem, you go and speak to Frank." And Frank was staring at this security guard and they're sort of staring at each other, just turned around and walked away.
Brilliant.
We have a German Shepherd as an assistance dog because you do go through things like this. And I've seen people in supermarkets with their kids having, a stress response or meltdown. And you can see the fear and embarrassment on their face and the look on others as they're going past, that judgment, But I'm prepared for it in the daytime. I've had sleep, we've had food. But like the other night, he woke up at, was it one, half one in the morning, screaming, "Emergency, emergency, emergency." So I'm ripped out of my sleep. I jump out of bed to see what's going off. I tread on a plane, I tread on a train track, you tread on Lego, I'm falling over because it bloody hurts. I'm naked, I need a wee. I haven't got my eyes open yet. He's screaming emergency. And he, for some reason, he's woken up. He's on the plane tracker and there's a plane doing at Bournemouth Airport at 10:48. It's like one in the morning. He doesn't understand the time, but he's seen this plane come in. Now he's getting dressed. He wants to leave now. We're leaving. We're going to the airport. So that can be very challenging because you've got to immediately regulate your own emotions first before you can deal with the situation. So, A, put some clothes on, have a wee, get rid of the Lego that I keep bloody stepping on and going down over. He's thieving. And again, we're getting much better at it. So it's becoming short-lived because I'm not slamming doors and getting angry and that social norms response.
That's good. Not easy in the middle of the night.
And that can happen on the way out the door in the morning to work or uni, where all of a sudden he's got to take a wheelie bin for a walk because he's been learning at school about refuse and garbage. And a lot of the time it is your own stress response to what's going off. And I think a lot of times that's what we refer to as challenging behavior. But looking back to when I was sitting in the car every night, it was my behaviors. And I've always said nothing impacts a child like Bodhi more than the behaviors of those around him. That started with me learning these new parenting styles. And when I've done my placements with CAMHS and things, I've seen exactly the same thing where quite often, number one priority here is the parents and their parenting styles or behaviors. If you can't regulate your own emotions, then you're going to get a stress response to these unmet needs that come at strange times in strange situations and places.
I think it can be really tricky, can't it? Because when you are dealing with those challenging behaviours, your body, your own response. For myself, I've had it where I feel sad that my son's struggling and then stressed because I don't know what to do. And then you're freaking out in your own head, but then you know that's wrong and you have to really try hard to calm down. That's the best thing for them. But it kind of goes against your natural responses in a way.
It's like the way I was brought up. If I got up at 1 o'clock in the morning when I was a kid and asked, my mom to take me to the airport, I'd be a very stern no.
Yeah, it's different, isn't it? Because they're acting on impulse. We have that with our son. He came home from school the other day and he wanted to go back to a beach where he'd seen a tyre. And we knew that he would not rest until he'd gone and seen this tyre. So my husband had to just reorganise his afternoon to take him because we knew that was what the best thing was for everyone,
Yeah,
really.
perfect. I don't. But there are certain times, like 1 a.m., and the plane's not due till 11, it's not going to work. So, the priority there is right, sort yourself out, Cole. Regulate yourself. Have a pee, put some clothes on, then validate, then save space, then regulate. And then at other times, the priority can change. You just chop and change. But I've got to tell you, being ripped out of your sleep at 1, 2 in the morning and stepping on Lego and trains and train tracks where you're screaming emergency is just
That's going to trigger anyone, isn't it?
funny afterwards, but at the time, it's just not funny at all.
And also, it can be really hard when you've got other people. You can feel their eyes watching you, and you have to just block it out.
That doesn't bother me anymore.
Well, yeah, that's good. That's really good.
But then I had that in the ambulance service. I remember one time I had to go and do CPR on a guy outside of Boots in the high street at Poole, and I was on the response car. And there's a crowd of people around me there filming me. Nobody's offering to help. And somebody's asking me what time the next 6B bus is to Bournemouth, and you're doing compressions, and you're like, sorry, sir, this is emergency service, not tourist information services. I mean, that's just people. I've learned that he reacts to me first and foremost, and then others. So if I'm cool and calm, it's a much easier win. So like the other night, he ended up going back to bed to sleep. Whereas if I'd have given in and displayed the wrong behaviours, we'd have all been up all night because he would have just kept escalating. But it takes time to learn. There's so many journeys you have to go through. And it's not easy to unlearn a lifetime of learned behaviors. And a lot of those behaviors are expected, like waiting in a queue. He won't wait in a queue. He doesn't do waiting. I wish I could find the words to justify his inability to wait. He will not wait, but sometimes we have to wait. I apologize, I explain, and then I go from there and see what the reaction of other people is. And that depends if Frank's with me or not. If Frank's there, the reaction is completely different because he's got a big German Shepherd next to him. The reaction is completely different.
I bet. So, what strategies do you use to help Bodhi regulate his own emotions at those points when he's distressed?
Number one, validation. Number two, safe space. We've got a mobile safe space in the car. Get him into the boot of the car. Get his iPad, which is a recovery tool. Again, a lot of people dismiss the idea of iPads through the night and bedtime, but it is a recovery tool. You're not dealing with a typical normal child and normal behaviors. If that iPad and watching whatever it is on there helps him to recover and regulate, then it's a good positive thing. I think a lot of it's on the blue UV lighting screens, which produces histamine, which is what we makes us wake up, which is why we have the curtains closed and why antihistamines make us sleepy. But in terms of autism, it's a recovery tool. So number one is get him into a safe space. That could be the airport, it could be the boot of the car, it could be his bedroom. Number two, Frank. Frank goes everywhere with us. If Frank's there, Frank makes a big difference. And then reduce the amount of people around him. If he is genuinely having a stress response at home in the evening, we've learned to reduce the people. So either Charlie and Frank leaves and just leave me and Bodie, or I and Frank leave and it's just Charlie and Bodie. And when he's just got one of you around, he regulates a lot quicker. A lot quicker. Music, a new thing we've found lately, in the evenings when he goes to bed, we put children's bedtime sleepy music on and play that, and he's out for the count. He loves it.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's a new thing, this music. And I guess the main thing is to meet chaos with calm. So again, it goes back to, can you regulate your own emotions? Can you change those thought processes and your own behaviors as a parent? It's starting to work.
That's really good. There's some really useful advice there. I had not thought of an iPad as a recovery tool. I love that. We rely on the iPad a lot as well.
If he wants to go and sit in the dryer or the boot of the car and watch whatever he's into at the minute is ducks, so he'll watch duck programs. If that helps him to regulate, how is that a bad thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
If that 10 o'clock at night and he has his iPad for half an hour to recover and regulate and then sleeps the rest of the night, versus no, you're not having an iPad because it's not good for you, because I was told by Dave on Facebook and now we're going to be up all night.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I know which one I'm going with. And we look at the evidence. We read articles, we read studies, we read journals. We're being led by the latest evidence. So we learn ourselves as parents, you know, we don't just listen to Dave on Facebook. Sorry if there's any Daves listening.
Do you change the way you communicate with Bodhi when you see his stress levels rising?
Yeah, again, the same strategies. Number one, your own stress response. And you have to remember with a child like Bodhi, any child like Bodhi where they're autistic or they're autistic and ADHD, he's got the brain of a Ferrari, but he's got the brakes of a lawnmower because he's a child, he's developing. And they have two halves of a brain. They have engage and they have react. When they are reacting, you cannot engage. So you have to work around them, not with them. Only when they're engaging can you start working with them. So number one, regulate your own emotions and your own stress response. Validate, meet chaos with calm, find safe space, frank, and then remove from that environment or remove the people from the environment and then go from there. And again, it's the same structure that we're learning. It works. iPad, recovery tool, music, whatever it may be. And sometimes it's a case of just leaving him. Quite often, if you leave him alone for a little bit, once you've done those first few things and you've been calm yourself, it de-escalates really quickly.
Yeah, we find that too.
That feels like a natural place to pause for today. In part two, Carl goes on to share more practical strategies. If this conversation has resonated with you, make sure to come back and join us for the second half in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening today, and as always, please remember you are not alone in this. We'll see you in part two. Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast. We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you are not in this alone. If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it. And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com. Until next time, take care.